Welcome to Hollyrood Ungagged, the Maximilian Robespierre of political podcasts. Season 3, Episode 6, I'm your host, David McClement, broadcasting from the Blantyre Free State. And join me tonight, my faithful companion, Mogai's Digital Michelangelo, Ungagged's Deborah Torrance. Hi Deborah, how are you doing?
Hi, how are you doing? Nice to see you, Kat. Welcome to Hollyrood.
I'll just jump all over my own throat, Kat, Deborah.
Oh, sorry.
I'd ask you how you were doing.
All right, sorry. I'm doing fine,
and
thanks.
Standing in for Brian this week. Brian is not gallivanting about the globe as he usually is. He's actually got COVID. So we're wishing Brian our best wishes and hopefully he'll be fighting fit for next week. But we've got a very able stand-in at the National Secretary of the SNP Socialist and co-host of our sister podcast, Ungagged Talking Sense, is Kat Carey. Welcome, Kat. Very nice to meet you.
Thank you. Have we not met? It's nice to meet
well,
you.
Well, there's in this day and age, there's multiple levels of meeting somebody. Our only interactions have been text-based before this. So that's like one level. Then there's me and Deborah, who I've only met in an electronic sense when doing the podcast. And then there's real life.
So Deborah, you and I are like family.
Yeah, you know each other better than either of you know me.
I think we've only seen each other in real life once or twice, but
yeah,
you know. That's a lot nowadays.
Yeah. Face-to-face interactions.
I actually think Deborah's avoiding me. Anytime I try to suggest meeting up, she's suddenly washing her hair or feeding the bird outside her bedroom window.
I do feed the birds.
See?
I think that's why it's taking up residence in my tree. Another bird, though, a wee bit of news. It was Mogai week and there was the rubber duck race. And my wee duck came third.
Awesome. Deborah, you just said that like it was a normal thing.
It's a normal thing.
What is a rubber duck race?
You put a bunch of ducks in the river and then it's the one. That's a thing. Don't say that.
Pretty self-explanatory.
Yeah.
I've never heard of such a thing in my life.
Well, they raised over £1,000 for a neuro charity. So
do people bet in the ducks?
No, you don't bet. You buy a duck.
I bought
10 ducks.
How many ducks were in this? Does it sound less impressive?
Thousands of ducks.
And you came, what did you say you came?
I came third. My duck. Well,
do you have any footage of this? Third.
Yeah, there's footage medal. On Facebook.
Amazing.
That is amazing. Thank you, Kat.
Kat is way more impressed with this than me. Is that not polluting, throwing all these rubber ducks in the river?
No, they collect them all.
Thousands of them. They collect them
thousands.
All.
They collect them all. It's only a short race.
I think the first three and just leave the rest of the lot.
No.
Have you got no stories of the Platinum Jubilee weekend?
You know what Edinburgh had? We had the Meadows Festival where there was not a Union flag in sight. Yay. I guess Ian Murray couldn't make it. But yeah, so went to the Meadows Festival and it was nice because it seemed like a lot of the town showed up to say we don't care about that other stuff going on.
Well, in Blantyre, I saw one rather sad-looking, tiny wee plastic Union Jack hanging off a railing. And that was about the height of the festivities around here, which I was very happy to witness.
They didn't put Union flags in the Parliament, at least on the day, I guess. It would have been interesting to if people would have rioted or anything, but they had purple. So I got away with not having to see them.
There was a few... Union Jacks and Mogai, not gonna lie. A lot of them were on old cars, and then walking by one of the hairdressers, there was a life-size cut-out cardboard of the Queen. I was like, oh, I thought it was my ma's pal, but it was in fact Queen Elizabeth.
Okay, let's get on, Gag.
Stars will never overtake the sky. Life has its turns and it takes a while. And it was nice, nice to hear you smile.
Okay. Let's officially, I'll do the introduction to the Jubilee bit since we're approaching it already. So Britain has been gripped by Jubilee fever as the nation marked 70 years of Queen Elizabeth II's reign. We've had consorts, beacon lightings, processions, and Princess Anne went to the zoo. And at the end of it all, what was the fucking point? Kat, I mean, it was weird enough for us, but as somebody that sort of didn't grow up in this madhouse, what does it look like an outside perspective.
I mean, it looks like a silly waste to me. I mean, America is full of excess, but usually people are like willingly paying for it, and it's not just part of it. The other thing that really struck me is when they were like, oh, look at the people that were waving at the hologram. Like, you hear the voiceover and it's a guy going, on her head rests the imperial crown. And I'm like, that's from Star Wars. I just have been watching Obi-Wan Kenobi. I'm like, that's not, when does that sink? Like, why does that sound fine and normal? So that struck me, but I didn't hear that till today because I didn't watch it.
Imperial crown full of diamonds dug from Indian soil and stolen.
Or remind me, when, do you remember when David Cameron was like, no, they'll not be having that back, about the big, what is it, the Star of India?
The Corinol, is it? That's probably wrong.
It's the big one, I think.
Yeah, it's like the third biggest diamond in the world or something. Or was at one stage, maybe they found another one since then.
My mom is similar to the age of Princess Di, and I'm about the same age as Prince William. So, like, we were riding in a car when we found out that she had died. So I think from when I was a kid, I thought, that's not good or healthy or anything. Everything about that's just kind of bad to everybody. So I've always kind of viewed it with, like, distaste, because I think that the people in it are like people in a cage that would probably like to be let out, some of them. And then, you know, it's not fair to everybody else and it does a lot of harm. I hate the whole concept of the monarchy.
Yeah. Well, I'm not going to do another monarchy history lesson, because last time we went back to, when was it, David? 782? The diamond's called the Kohinoor diamond.
I shouldn't have known that, because there was an Indian restaurant named after it, and it was very good.
And it was totally stolen, like most of the British assets, let's be honest. I know you, in America, they like flags, don't they? And there's a law that you can't have this, like, if you can fly two flags, but the stars and stripes have got to be taller. Is that right?
Oh, right. Yeah. Or like, yeah, there are specific rules that if you want to fly a flag, your state flag's got to be, yeah, there's a rule.
Yeah. They don't seem to have that many rules, because I've seen a few upside down union flags. And does that not mean that people are in distress?
Maybe it was accurate.
Well, that's what I was thinking. There wasn't much jubilant celebrations here. They did build a big massive crown in the village, but that was the only place that was like a quiet space, to be honest, during Mogai Week. It was behind the stage, so you could go there and there wasn't many people hanging about. There was a lot of bunting about, but it was a gala day, so I'll allow. And I saw plenty of Scotland flags in that as well. It wasn't entirely Queen Jubilee free, because it is Mogai after all. But I felt more community connected than connected to the stupid monarchy. I think there's two sorts of monarchists, isn't there? There's the ones that are just like, oh, I like the Queen. And then there's the pure ardent royalists who also tend to be Tory. I'm surprised there wasn't more royal jubilation in Blantyre, David. Is that no? Do they not like a bit of drum banging? Is there no some orange walks and lodges out there?
It's still Lanarkshire, but for Lanarkshire, it leans a bit more towards the green than certain other parts of Lanarkshire do. So, yeah.
Not as ideal, staunch.
But, no, I mean, I did like that. Was it Channel 4 that did the report going about Scotland trying to find people celebrating? And the only place they could find was the Bristol Bar, the most Rangers of Rangers pubs that had renamed it still, the Queen Elizabeth Bar or something.
They were lighting beacons, weren't they? Didn't they see any beacons? Or didn't they?
I didn't go looking. what was that about? Was there an explanation? Or just like, they were just looking for stuff to do?
I think they were just looking for something to do.
So.
I saw a tweet. It wasn't by Andy Bowie. It wasn't by him, but it was him and someone else. They're like, huge turnout. And it was like, somebody said, like, it's the six chip thing all over again, because there was only a few people in the background.
Yeah, I mean, it was almost like I saw that and I thought, is that a parody account? Because it was literally like four people in the picture, and it wasn't a really particularly close up shot either. You could see quite a lot of space, and there was nobody there. But he's like, wow.
They could have been in that parking lot for any reason. Yeah.
They might have walked up and say, what are you setting stuff on fire for?
Like in medieval times, they used to light them again as a sign of distress. Maybe this is code. I can't
think of Lord of the Rings. Rohan needs help. That's 2 weeks in a row. Is that you talking about Lord of the Rings?
I know. Stop it.
No. I'm just trying to get in Connell's girlfriend's podcast, I think.
Yeah, I think you are, David. He's looking for an invitation.
One good thing about the Jubilee is I was quite happy to see the Green MSPs get up and walk out of the debate that was called to lead tributes to the Queen.
Yeah.
What was your thoughts on that?
I thought it was great. I think, so they made it sound like they all stood up and walked out in mass, but they didn't. It was just, there was only two of them in there to get up. The rest of them just weren't there and didn't ever come in. So I think that they phrased something about not wanting to disrespect anything, but, you know, it wasn't maybe as fist-raising protest as, you know, that we want it to be, or that they wanted it to be necessarily. But I can't help but think that Nicola Sturgeon might have been a bit jealous of them.
Being able to.
Like, man, I wish we could do it. Yeah.
I mean, the day will come that we can just not even talk about them. But I do think that it must be hard for members of Scottish Parliament because they've got a sort of swearing oath to them, an allegiance to the Queen to even do their job. So good on the Greens. I mean, I wouldn't expect anything less, to be honest. If they were all in there, I would expect them all to walk out. But well done.
Yeah, it really sticks in your throat, the idea of swear allegiance to the Queen. Even if, I mean, imagine making elected representative swear something that is completely against the principles and the principles that they stood on to be elected. That's ludicrous. I do have some interesting quotes. Really, this is just to wind up Deborah, to be honest. So Scotland's first ministers described her deep respect for the Queen and paid tribute to the monarch's selfless commitment to duty. She said she has benefited from the Queen's knowledge and wisdom during her private conversations and that she wanted the Queen and her successors to remain as head of state if Scotland becomes independent. So, Deborah, do you also have a deep respect for the Queen, or is Nicola Sturgeon wrong?
Look, I've never met the woman, but I'm guessing Nicola Sturgeon has. I also think that she's bound by duty, as I just said. Like, what's she going to say? Is she going to say, I hate the monarchy and think they're an absolute parasitical waste on society? She's not going to say that. I mean, she probably thinks it.
Not if we want a legal referendum.
I love how you put it, always want to try and wind me up, David. I'm not getting wound up though today. My duck winner came in third, I'm happy.
It sounds like a eulogy that you'd give to your racist great uncle.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, I want his kid to do well. Yeah. Like, you got picked, you drew the short straw, and you have to give the eulogy. So you're saying something vague and so, like your great aunt, right? Because she's a woman. Like something vaguely positive, but it could mean anyone. And yeah.
I must admit, the last bit there when she said she wanted the Queen and her successors to remain as head of state, I did pause at that bit. I thought, has she said that before? Maybe she has.
That's part of the swearing in.
That's true.
To her. Her Majesty and her heirs and successors. So
well, on the Queen, if she doesn't have a successor, then we're off the hook.
Unfortunately, there is plenty in line. Okay, the next point might be a bit immaterial, depending on how events unfold later this evening. As we speak, the Tory MPs are voting on their confidence in Boris Johnson. But in the meantime, we'll talk about what Boris intends to do. And that is, he has announced that Britain will be returning to using imperial measurements over the metric system. Traders have been legally required to use metric measurements such as grams, kilograms, millilitres and litres when selling produce by weight since the EU directive came into effect in the year 2000. I'm a bit confused with this because what exactly are they bringing back? Because I'm not aware of imperial measurements really going away. I mean, I know I'm 6'1". I have no idea what that is in centimetres. And if you tell me something's going in kilometres an hour, I have no idea. I can't conceptualise how fast that is. So what are they bringing back exactly, Deborah?
Nostalgia. That's what they're bringing back. It's just so they can throw back to some sort of fabricated idealism, Great Britain, like back to the 60s and You know, I'm surprised they don't want to bring back shillings. And like, really, I just,
I was really confused.
I know. I found a useful converter, which is not useful at all because it's pretty much how my brain works it out as well. 1 inch is about 2.5 centimeters. A yard is almost 1 meter. It's so stupid. But you're right, I don't think it's went away. I just bought a pun of mince from my butcher the other day. So, like, I don't even know what that is in grams. I also got a free pun of mince. That's how our butcher's rolling these days. Buy a pun, get a pun free. Utter rubbish. It's Boris Johnson's attempt to grasp onto that sort of Brexit British wonderfulness. Like, oh, we'll take back control of everything. They will not tell us that our pint of milk is just over half a litre. Like, that is stupid. And you're really right, because I'm 5'6" and a half. I never say I'm 172 centimetres.
Did you just look that up?
What do you think? Yeah, I mean, I think in America they still use it. It's just UK and America, I think, is the only countries that do use the imperial stuff now.
Well, sometimes I struggle to figure out which is which and which, you know what I mean? Like, wait, how did I grow up? Which way was this spelled? Do I say foot yard? What is a stone? There's certain things that just have never permeated, because I lived in Bahrain when I was like in my early 20s. I was in the Navy, so I was overseas a lot. So I've just kind of given up. So like, how it is going to be confusing. And if you don't pay attention all the time, you'll probably fudge something and somebody will rip you off. So it serves that purpose. Like, the companies are happy, because even if they have to relabel, they'll probably make a little bit of something off of it. Some people like to fight. They like chaos. And then the Tories get to say they delivered on something that is stupid and pointless, which is kind of their thing, right?
Yeah, I mean, that's the thing. Reality, how much is really going to change? Like, are they actually going to do anything? Or was this just yet another random soundbite to distract the ongoing chaos?
It's a distraction, though. It makes people's brains busy worrying about that instead of the big problem.
Yeah. You know, in the motorway, you know how that's still, that your cutoff point, that's still measured in yards as well. You're 300 yards, 200 yards, 100 yards. So I don't understand what are they changing, that shops don't have to put grant? Like, what is it they want to change? As you said, David, I tried to look it up, but I can't. I saw some supermarket saying, oh, this would cost us a bit of money. But would it?
I think in, like I said, I think traders were required to do it in metric. But they can list I think they've always been allowed to list the imperial measures as well if they want. They just had to use metric too.
Because it still says pints on milk and all, so I don't.
I'm 40 and I learned at school it was metric. So it's not as if it's this brand new thing that just came in. You know, so the idea of switching to a whole new system that most of the population under, 55 has never been taught in is just madness. Also, yards, I understand yards because for some reason football always talks about yards. Like, nobody ever says, oh, I knocked it in for 25 metres. It's always a 30-yard shot, you know.
But because I like rugby, that's how I understand metres.
So why does rugby use metres and football uses yards? What's that about? Why is it so mixed up?
To separate people. I don't know. Isn't that what everything's about?
You would think that rugby union is the more upper class sport, would want to stick to the...
Rugby the can't even measures. Decide on one set of rules.
That's true.
I'm just checking the live reporting for the BBC. No news yet in the vote of confidence. But we'll keep an eye on it.
Okay. Do you know what a gallon is? Sorry.
Four cups?
4 litres, I think that is.
No, according to my hand reports,
it's
about 4.5 litres.
How many ounces in a litre? Or does that not go into a litre?
I don't think
that's like a square hole and a round peg there, I think.
Because there's 16 fluid ounces in a cup, which doesn't make any sense either.
Oh,
really.
See, that's a whole other language to me. That's not in my guide.
Literally, reading this story, I found out that it was 16 ounces in a pound. For some reason, I thought it was 14.
That's because there's 14 pounds in a stone. Aye.
Aye, that's maybe what I would think.
But oh, so I was wrong. There's 8 fluid ounces in a cup.
Oh, my God. This is so much math.
Be honest, but like I said, it's like all these different things that you know for the random reasons. I know pounds and ounces and I would use that. Like, I don't know if a baby's big or small if they tell me what it is in grams, but if you tell me what it is in pounds, ounces, I'm like, oh, it's quite a big baby.
Well, look at how many small business owners they can rip off because they don't automatically know it.
Yeah.
Don't trust the baby that tells you their weight in grams.
That baby's trying to rip you off. Yeah.
To be honest, this is, I never buy anything in butchers because I wouldn't know what, how much they ask for. And I'd be scared that I ask for something in an amount and then they come with like huge big pile of it and stick it down. I'm like, oh, I just wanted enough for a sandwich.
I'm telling you, a pint of mince, that's enough.
Enough for what though?
I'll give you
for one person, a family.
I'll give you like three meals, a pint of mince, some toys and carrots.
Right. I've got to test that out. I've got to buy a pint of mince. And then come back.
But we also got a pantry, so we could feed like maybe a family a five or six small portions.
What does Jeannie think of this?
I asked her about it if she remembered when it all got changed, and she went, oh, it was a load of rubbish. She said it was a pain in the backside. And it didn't just happen like that. It took ages and ages and ages. And then by the time that it went away, nobody cared anyway. So she just said that it was a tokenistic gesture or something, she said. Like, she said it's just to get old people to support them again because they think, oh, that'll be good going back to the good old days.
She said, I can get all day.
There's no such thing as the good old days.
Exactly. Exactly.
Yeah, people always idealise this time about roughly 50 years before now. Whenever now happened to be, that's when they think everything was better and right. Nonsense. I remember my nana was asked about that, about the good old days. And she's pointed out that, well, in the good old days at her primary school, she says every summer I come back and one of the kids in my class had died of some kind of preventable disease. So she was never that enamoured with the good old days. I've turned it really dark there. We were having a lovely light-hearted discussion about weights and measures, and I've just introduced the idea of dead children. I have to apologise.
I grew up on a farm. This is bread and butter. Dinner table talk.
And now, a word from our sponsor.
Our sponsor this week is Sense of Nature Pet Service, based in central Scotland. Sense of Nature gives you a hands-on, personalised experience with a variety of exciting creatures, from snakes and skunks to tarantulas and turtles. Sense of Nature has something for everyone. They offer sensory sessions, one-to-one and group sessions, educational encounters for children of all ages, and they are available for private events upon inquiry. Animal welfare is at the forefront of everything they do, and if appropriate, a risk assessment can be carried out at no additional cost prior to your booking. To get 5% off your next booking with Sense of Nature, call Holyrood Ungagged 5 at time of booking. To contact Sense of Nature, you can do so by email on sense.of.natureinquiries@outlook.com. You can also find them on most social media platforms by searching for Sense of Nature.
And we're back. Next up, the RMT and ASLE unions are both balloting their members for strike action after they argued that a 2.2% pay offer was not acceptable at a time of soaring inflation. This has led to a temporary timetable with reduced services in order to minimise possible cancellation. Deborah, what's your thoughts? It's causing a lot of kerfuffle on Twitter and the indie spheres particularly.
I always support the workers. I think nobody knows their working conditions and what they need to do to be able to do their job better than they do in their unions. They're looking for a 4.2% pay rise, is that right? Did you check that? Oh.
I don't have that information.
I'm just looking right now because I read an article this morning.
And they were offered less 2.2. Than half or something. 2.2. It's a hard one because I think they're in the sort of better paid category of workers, and I think it must be hard for some other workers in some other industries to be looking at this and saying, just take the pay rise. But we've also got to appreciate how vital the rail network is, and we've seen that with all the cancellations that's happened. People have been cracking up. Can he get home for concerts? Can he get home for work? Can he get to work? I think the nationalisation of the Abellio, I think there could have been certain things put in place before the Scottish Government took over, if that was possible. Like, just on a personal level, I'm not entirely up to date on all the negotiations that went on for that. But I do think there could have been something where Abellio had to sort this out before Scottish Government took it on. That's what I think is frustrating. But I always support the workers, never cross a picket.
Yeah, I don't think there's been enough recognition that literally the government have just nationalised it. You know, it's not as if this pay dispute sprung up last week out of nowhere. It's been a long-running thing. And I think Abellio were probably thinking, once they realised it wasn't going to be their problem, they kicked it into the long grass and then
definitely
ran back to Holland. Kat, your thoughts?
So initially they offered a 2.2 pay rise, which I think triggered the action. Then they offered 4.2. And I think that's what they're balloting over, whether they're going to take that or not. And then it says that they're supposed to train drivers union hopeful of ScotRail dispute settlement possibly this week, fingers crossed, standing with the workers, of course, always standing with the workers. And I don't think it's, I think people will go, well, I don't get paid that well. Mm-hmm. Why do they get paid? But that's the wrong way to, I always try and push back where people say that, which I know I'm preaching to the choir, but it's like, just because you deserve a pay rise doesn't mean you can say, so they shouldn't strike. It's so we should all strike or have the ability to strike better pay. I would say, so I kind of agree. I don't know that much about the negotiations that went into nationalizing it, but it seems like everything comes with an accountancy firm giving their two cents. And I don't think accountancy firms know how to run a rail line that's, you know, humane and treats its workers with dignity and respect. So maybe that's what we need to cut out, is all the advisors that are from the capitalist, whatever. Yeah, kick them out, pay the workers a bit better and, you know, deal with it.
I think as well, some of the other cuts and like station closures and getting rid of staffing and stuff like that, a lot of that has built up so there's more pressure on the train drivers, because if they come into a station and there's somebody who needs accessible help, for example, if they just to leave their cab to go and help them if there's no anybody on the trains. I think that a lot of the things, the working their days off, working double shifts, like some of these things are about safety as well. And I'm also with you, Kat. I think you're right about the always stand with the workers, and these people that are sort of arguing, oh, but they're getting paid so much money already. Are they? It's a big responsibility driving a train. Could you drive a train? I couldn't drive a train.
And if they're paid really well, good. Good for them. You know, they're not, it's not like us and them. We're all workers together. So if they're getting more money, that makes it easier for us to get more money. Or it should, in theory. But at the end of the day, some people you see attacking it, and they're so close to having an epiphany where they're saying, oh, them with their unions and they get too much money already and they're pushing for mayor. And you think, make the connection there. They've got a strong union and they're well paid. I work in social care. I would love if we'd unions like the RMT that would fight a lot harder, because we're underpaid. And, you know, that doesn't mean that I'm going to be angry at train drivers because they're not being exploited as bad as us. I'd rather level up to their level than, you know, like some kind of weird bitter satisfaction of knowing that they're getting shafted as bad as my industry. It's just,
yeah,
it's a really twisted outlook, I think.
Train drivers have also got to pass strenuous health checks and be fit and be able to stay awake for, you know, whatever the longest train journey in the UK is. So I agree with you. Join a union.
Or become a train driver. if you're so bitter about them getting paid a lot, go and become a train driver. But
and isn't this the cleaning staff too, right?
Yeah.
They're part of this union, so yeah.
Yeah, because as left that represent the drivers, they've not been in strike for 20 years. I think people kind of just think of the RMT as being the railway union, but they only represent aspects of the railway workers. But I was going to say that a lot of pro-Indy Twitter has been terrible on this issue. I mean, a lot of them attacking workers and the idea of taking industrial action, and it just sounding like Tories by any other name. It was quite reminiscent of last year ahead of COP26, when there was kind of accusations, kind of conspiracies that the unions were all taking orders by Anas Sarwar to, you know, show up Scotland and the Scottish Government. And, you know, it just kind of shows that there's a big section of superficially progressive people in Scotland that, with a nudge either way, could easily go and, you know, radically different directions, politically speaking.
Yeah, you just said that, David. I feel like our minds have been just melding because I was thinking it's really easy. Sometimes people go, well, what's the difference between progressive and left? You know, people in America are asking me about politics and I'm trying to map it in my own head. And I was like, well, the people who turned on the workers because it interfered with their day are progressives, or maybe not, you know, they're progressives to a point. The left is supposed to always be with the workers. And if you're a lefty who's not, then we've got bigger problems. But that's how I'm like, that's how you kind of separate, okay, who pretends that they're left wing, or, you know, and who's not.
Yeah. Who still supports the workers when it's inconvenient? I mean, it's quite easy to support workers when it doesn't really cost you anything and isn't really having any impact at all.
Yeah. We spoke about that on our COP episode, and it was that, what a perfect time to strike. If you're a union, that's when you want to strike because you want to make the biggest impact. And people that are, oh, but it's really inconvenience. Like, that's the fucking point. It's to inconvenience you. Mono workers, if they've been offered the 4.4, did you say 4.2 they've been offered now? I think the most recent tweet I saw was they were hopeful that it's going to be accepted by the members. But we'll see. We'll see. I think 4.2 doesn't seem that high, though, is it? Is it not?
When you bear in mind that inflation's running at, what, double digits almost, then it's, unless it matches the rate of inflation, it's effectively a pay cut, as we're all kind of experiencing. And there's been a lot of talk recently about, like, workers have to be aware of the economic situation. And it's like, why is the workers the ones that always have to make the sacrifices and, you know, say the honourable thing to help for the greater good? You know, when's the bankers going to get up their bonuses for the greater good? That never seems to happen. Or my wife was striking as a further education lecturer. You know, there's head of colleges on, like, ludicrous money, like more money than the Prime Minister. Yet, you know, it's only when it comes to the kind of frontline workers that suddenly we all need to be responsible and, you know, tighten our belt.
Anecdotally, I've heard the two folk being made redundant recently as well. And it's just been operating costs that have been cited, which just sucks. Shite. So join a union, strike, general strike now. But we might not need it. Might be a general election soon.
Could be.
Oh, no.
On to the last item. As we speak, Tory MPs' votes are being counted to have a vote of confidence in the Prime Minister. At least 180 Tory MPs would have to vote against Boris Johnson for him to stand down as party leader and presumably as Prime Minister. The vote was triggered after at least 54 MPs sent letters to the chairman of the 1922 Backbenchers Committee. The Prime Ministers wrote to MPs asking for their backing, saying it would put an end to the media's favourite obsession and let them get on with the job. Most of the cabinets backed the Prime Minister, but other MPs have urged colleagues to vote against them, including former Health Secretary Jeremy Hunt. And there's also been a spate of resignations today, and the latest that I'm just looking online is saying that the Prime Minister's supporters have very long faces, are very downbeat, and are intensely angry. So if they know something we don't, at the moment it is looking that it'll be bye-bye to the... I was going to use a nickname I heard from earlier. I heard somebody refer to him as the Horny Honey Monster, and I kind of get it out of my head. So what do we think? How do we think it's going to go, Kat?
Oh, I don't think we actually have a chance of getting rid of him today, but I think it doesn't look good for him. And I think that that's just the next step before we do finally get rid of him. Because I'm not one of the people that are like, oh, but he's good for independence. He's just bad all over for everyone and for human rights. So I'm not, you know, at what cost? Like, I don't want all these people to go on with this mess of a monster of a man in charge. So let's get him out of there. The next Tory will be just as bad and just as good for independence. So there you go.
Deborah, what do you think?
I keep seeing people refer to what's going on today as Tory Squid Games, and I kind of get that out of my head. Have you seen all the Tories, the Boris Johnson sycophants, and then the sort of save your own skins type Tories? It's like, contrast.
I feel as if anywhere I turn on social media, I'm seeing Nadine Dorries looking more and more inebriated and desperate and angry.
I'm going to say that I think he might go.
I'm starting to think so.
See, just looking at some of the tweets and some of the that what they're talking about, Liz Truss is definitely the next leader, and like, oh, why are they floating that now? I think Tories, by their own character, they're very purposed, they're self-servative, really, aren't they? They will preserve their own interests, and if they think that he's bad for them, a bad look for them, then they'll vote against him. But time will tell. It's like 15 minutes.
Well, it's quite telling, I think, that this was really precipitated by the fact he get booed going into, was it Westminster Abbey for the Queen's Jubilee? Now, you know, if even the crown shaggers that hang about outside these things all day, if even they are turning on him, the most servile and loyal British subject, then it's hard to imagine what kind of support he still has in the country. And you think about all the things that's happened and all the things he's done, and that is what motivated the Tories to go, like you said, complete self-interest, because they have panicked that even the sort of the Royalist Brigade has turned on them.
That's what I was going to say. I don't think we can underestimate that sort of adulation for the Queen, and how that would have been, you know, maybe the cherry on the cake for them.
It did make the US major news that they booed him. I was on CBS, so it wasn't like, even the people who still have rabbit ears, if those exist, you know, antenna TV can still, they still could hear the boos. I think the monarchy and like the prime minister, you know, like the British establishment, do a really good job of like playing off each other as the baddies. So I think it kind of serves everyone's purpose. But I was going to say, how many votes does he need in support? I've been following, this journalist has been counting the ones
he needs. 100. He needs 180 to win, but in reality, he probably needs more than that.
157 is what they've counted up as like verbal. Maybe I'm a pessimist. I'm being pessimistic for self-preservation, and I think will not be
an eternal optimist. I think he'll go, but I can't, if he goes and there's a leadership contest, will there automatically be another general election? Or is it only if he survives and then he calls a general election?
We'll have that same debate that we have every time they change prime minister, and they'll go back and forward, and they'll look at the opinion polls and try to calculate whether they'd win. And it'll just be the same pantomime that we get, that we got with Gordon Brown, that we got with Theresa May.
I feel like the Tories have such a majority, though, that they wouldn't risk it, right? You know, unless they absolutely had to, they're not going to call election before they have to, will they?
That's what I'm fearing too. I'm like, I've got no time for this. No. Well,
I mean, they'll need to be called one in, 2 years? Is that right? Yeah, in 2 years' time. So a new prime minister might come in. They might feel that it's better to go now when they have a wee kind of bounce in the honeymoon period.
Well, I'm hoping it doesn't matter then, because we'll be independent anyway.
But what I mean is they might call it sooner, because, you know, if a new prime minister comes in and the flavour of the month initially, they might think, right, go snap election now, and then they don't need to worry about it 5 years.
But next update,
results are due shortly.
Oh, it's exciting.
Exciting time.
See, I don't know if I'm, so like sometimes things pop into my head because I'm like, am I just being a daft American again? Or am I thinking of something that people don't usually, you know what I mean? So it could be one or the other, but wouldn't it serve everyone's best interest to blame everything on Boris for as long as possible and to not call snap? Because what credit is there to be had out of anything right now?
I mean, what, unless it's going bad, they very rarely go into the final year.
Mm.
So usually they call it every 4 years if things are going okay, because they always worry that they leave it and then go into the last year and some big disaster hits them, or scandal or something hits them at the wrong time.
Yeah, because scandals and corruption.
What are the odds?
What are the odds?
Am I going crazy here, or did they repeal the Fixed Term Parliament Act?
No, he did.
So does that mean they don't have to do it every 5 years?
They do have to call it every 5 years by law.
Mm.
The Fixed Term Parliament meant that they wouldn't be able to call it earlier, but there was a flaw in the legislation. It said that you could only do it if you had 2/3 majority. But
I see.
You only needed a majority to actually repeal it and then just do it anyway. So I think that's what happened, if I'm remembering right.
And they also changed the ministerial code so they could get away with certain mergers. Yeah, because they weren't getting away with it. You know what I mean? They were getting fined £50. I'm stressing out because I keep refreshing my Twitter feed.
I know, I'm watching
it. It's not making time go faster.
I'm watching it in the BBC updates.
Wee Jeannie just brought me a hot chocolate. Oh, that was nice.
Ooh, I want a hot chocolate.
Nobody's brought me nothing.
But I'll tell you what, if this, do you think this will make a difference to, you know, the current politics? What's happening if he goes? Of course it will. That's a stupid question, Deborah. What I'm trying to say is, how much of an impact will it have? What will happen next if he goes? And if he doesn't, before that,
I think there's a question of, I mean, is it legally required to stand down if it loses this? Or is it that very British thing of, this is how it's always been done, that's what we expect you to do?
That's a good question.
But no mechanism to force them to do it. So I think there is a good chance he loses it, he just calls it general election.
I'm no good.
I just get a vision there of him going in for his private audience with the Queen and just like lifting a cushion over her face. Just so he doesn't need to resign. I will resign as soon as the next monarch has been coronated.
Like a sitcom or a comedy show in my head, doing that, yeah, lifting the pillow up.
That sounds like something out of Blackadder.
It popped up saying the vote tally of who had publicly declared, and I panicked thinking it was the actual final tally, but it's not.
Oh.
Something I was going to say when you were talking earlier is about the people that are publicly declared. It's a secret ballot. They could say what they want and pledge all kinds of loyalty and then just go in and vote against them.
I mean, I figure since they don't have to say that's how bad it's gotten for the Tory MPs, like, one of them had to resign a job. I don't know. That has to come with extra money, right? Like, got to be a big deal if they're giving up extra money. Yeah, I'm not going to admire any of them.
Wasn't it?
Yeah, Lamont.
Yeah, I think somebody else went as well. Some kind of czar. I can't remember what it was for.
I think Alistair Jack said he's voting for Boris, and then no word from David Duguid.
Yeah.
Duguid.
I mean, so if the majority...
That earlier, I had to look him up. I'd never heard of him.
He's Northeast.
Never heard of the name before.
I have, unfortunately, yeah.
Is it Banff and Buchan?
Banff and Buchan.
I was thinking that seems like a made-up place.
It's not, I promise.
Information, Deborah?
Oh, no. No, it wasn't.
Excited?
It wasn't. I thought it was something exciting, but it wasn't really. Just seeing very long faces on supporters of Boris Johnson. And one ally said of Tory MPs, they are a bunch of lying snakes. I think I've just agreed with a Tory.
No shit, Sherlock.
Said they're a bunch of lying snakes. I don't trust anything they say. You're right, but also can I trust him, what he's saying? Oh, that's a Schrodinger's cat situation.
They're always acting in their best interest, their own best interest, but you just have to figure out which interest is their own best. Yeah,
so depending on how this goes, either I think there's a question mark is whether he actually does follow through and resign. If he does he go right away? Does he try and eke out as much time as he can just so he can overtake Gordon Brown, who was a Prime Minister one day longer than him at the moment? And then, God, look at the parade of freaks and monsters that will be in line to take over. I mean, not that long ago, Rishi Sunak would have been absolutely quids in, but his reputation's taken a bit of a dent since then, so I'm not really sure who the front runner would be. At the moment,
Liz Truss, I'm telling you.
Really?
That's the next, I'm telling you, that's who they're setting up. They're setting up Mrs. Pork Markets.
That is a disgrace.
I mean, can you imagine Liz Truss, Nadine Dorris? I'm trying to think of the next worst cabinet there could be. Gov.
Michael Go dancing.
Yeah, Jacob Rees-Mogg,
Matt Hancock leering at everybody and standing 3 inches for their face,
and then Dominic Raab sweating, just sweaty for no reason.
They were talking about who voted. Apparently, Dominic Raab just walked past the line and skipped the queue and just went in and voted ahead of everybody. You know,
imagine not conforming to the British rule of law and queuing.
I hope he doesn't want to run. I hope he's not hoping to run because all the people will vote against him now.
I think of Dominic Raab as like a shitty version of, you know, Malfoy.
Is that a Harry Potter reference?
Yeah.
Because we hate Harry Potter in this
part. I mean, I don't like the author or her, I find her views, but since I've got little kids, we have great conversations about how to separate a story that is in your own mind and someone who wrote it who is very problematic.
What I'm trying to find out is who is the governor general, because he can refuse a prime minister's request for anything. So it's up to him if he makes him resign or not.
Is that not just in other countries where she's the queen? I thought the queen.
Let me guess, it's that Leb Devabev guy.
I thought the governor general was like the queen's stand in like Australia and Canada and stuff like that.
Ah, right, okay, yes.
So it would be the queen would be the governor general here.
Aye.
Sorry for that misinformation.
Just ignore me.
Did you hear the story about Theresa May today?
Yes. Oh, but she's so horrible.
She turned up to vote in an evening gown with diamond encrusted heels. Now, presumably she was going somewhere after voting, but I like to think she wasn't. She just wanted to dress up for the occasion of knifing Boris in the back.
I still think it's important to say that Theresa May is a terrible human being.
Yeah.
We shouldn't celebrate her, but...
Is it funny, Rachel?
I'm glad she turned up. Was it? I saw she had jewel encrusted heels on.
Yeah.
As well as the evening gown. Well done. I mean, why not make a night? Yeah.
Probably playing ABBA on her phone.
So she's speaking at a Jubilee dinner afterwards, so she's going off to do something fancy that we don't agree with.
I'm disappointed. I really wanted her just to have dressed up just for the shits and giggles.
It's now like,
it's not a circus, it's an award show.
And they're saying the results will be in. Oh, the TV camera's on. We can actually watch it. Where can we watch it?
I mean, it matters if they had the vote. I don't know how much it matters what the result is.
Yeah, I don't think he has to resign. I think you're right, David. I think it's the Prime Minister, then the Queen, and that's it. There's no... If he doesn't accept...
He won it. He's won it.
Fuck off. Oh, well, that was wonderful.
Wah, wah. No.
148 votes against. There were only like 30 votes short.
Whoever's listening who has any sort of power, please do not have a general election before the end of August. Please, please, please. I have to turn in my dissertation.
I think, from memory, I think that is closer than the one that Theresa May barely survived and she was gone like 6 months later.
Oh.
211 to 148.
Wow. Theresa May's was 325 to 306. That doesn't make sense. I hate Wikipedia. Wikipedia keep giving me wrong information. Don't use Wikipedia as your sources.
I'm going to comment on Wikipedia right now.
Unless that was a vote of confidence in Parliament, the numbers sound more as opposed to within the Tory Party. Because obviously if this was replicated in Parliament, it would have lost.
Is that the next step then? Will there be a...
Labour might push or something like that.
It'd be a film actor.
But so he's safe for a year now, because even if Labour, if every other party agrees, they still don't have the numbers to force it in Parliament, right?
Well, unless those Tory MPs who voted with no confidence voted with the opposition.
But to table it.
Okay. Yeah, I don't know.
This might just be a daft American thing where people are yelling right now, but sorry. Sorry for my confusion.
It's all right. You know more about Scottish politics than some else. So
you'll be amazed what people tell you when you don't know.
I know loads about American politics, but it's mostly because I watch The West Wing.
That's definitely a version of American politics.
So what was the numbers, David?
211 to 148. So it's not exactly a resounding vote.
Theresa May had 200 Tory MPs back her. 200. So he did worse. I mean, they're both terrible people, but I'm glad he did worse.
That's interesting, because 6 months after the vote of no confidence, Theresa May resigned.
Yeah.
So, but that
I feel it's a bit anticlimactic.
Yeah. It is, it's totally.
I feel like it was Christmas morning. I was looking for my present. And instead of finding my presents, I found Santa dead at the bottom of the chimney.
This is why it's good to go in as a downer. I'm not disappointed whatsoever. You know the Debbie Downer thing from Saturday Night Live? Wah, wah. That I feel like I am all the time.
This pod should be called Dead Santas and Childhood Mortality. Because <Yeah. laughs> David, you're so cheesy.
We just wrap it up there. I was looking forward to getting excited there, but you know, he might be wounded, perhaps mortally wounded, but he's limping on. And I think it's safe to say now he will overtake Gordon Brown in terms of the, let me just check that, the, he will become the 36th longest serving Prime Minister. It's just at the moment he's one place ahead of poor Spencer Percival, who gets shot because he owed somebody money. So who knows, maybe that'll be Boris's fate. I'm sure he owes people money.
Yeah, but he just puts him in the House of Lords.
On that note, I'll just say thank you for joining us, Kat. It was a pleasure. Deborah, it's always a pleasure. Kat, do you want to plug your podcast?
Absolutely. Talking Sense is on an unexpected hiatus due to my co-host having COVID right now and also leaving her laptop at someone's house before she tested positive for COVID. But Erin and I will be back soon. We'd like to talk about abortions, Roe versus Wade in America, buffer zones here in Scotland, talk about Pride Month, because Erin's a co-convener of OFI, which is the S&P's LGBT wing, LGBTQI plus wing of political support. So reach out to Erin if you'd like to get more involved. And hey, any S&P members who are socialists, we have an annual general meeting coming up on the 28th of June. So I'm also plugging that, because we need more people to come and help us. I mean, come and join us.
I was going to do my wee spiel, but I think I've deleted it from my computer. So.
Oh, no.
That's all right. You can find us at on Twitter.
That's right. You can find us on Twitter at _ungag. If you get any questions you'd like us to answer, you can either get in touch on social media, or you can email us at ungagleft@gmail.com. I think that's right. And whenever you listen to this podcast, whatever platform, we'd really appreciate it if you go and give us 5 stars. Deborah, Kat, thanks again. Listeners, thanks for listening. We'll see you next week. Bye-bye.
See you later. Bye. And it was nice to hear you smile. Dream a dream, cause you'll never die. The stars will never overtake the sky. Life has its turns and it takes a while. And it was nice.